powered from the Perdomo Cigar Studios Black Stage in Indian Trail, North Carolina, and broadcasting from California. It's episode 132 of the Primetime Show. Tonight, we welcome Luciana Morales of Ace Prime as our special guest. And as always, the Primetime Show is sponsored by Saga Cigars. De Los Reyes Cigars introduces another chapter of Saga, the Saga Celez. Celez is a Spanish word that means leisure after work. In the spirit of the standing ideal of owning your own journey and making your own saga, the Saga Celez is the perfect companion to enrich those moments of choice, making them truly yours. Saga Celez carries a blend of Criollo, Olor, and Piloto Cubano wrapped in a selected Ecuador Shade Claro wrapper that generously delivers an elegance and a surprisingly rich and balanced smoke. Available in three sizes at an affordable price, ask your retailer for a Saga Celez. And by Perdomo Cigars. Awarded Nicaraguan Cigar of the Year in 2014 by Cigar Journal, the Perdomo 20th Anniversary brand has consistently earned the highest scores in the industry and is a top seller in humidors around the world. Perdomo 20th Anniversary blend requires tobaccos that have been carefully hand-selected and are well-aged for a minimum of 8 years. The Perdomo 20th Anniversary is offered in three distinct wrappers, a smooth, creamy Ecuadorian Connecticut, a rich, earthy Cuban seed Nicaraguan sun-grown, and a dark, oily Cuban seed Nicaraguan Maduro. Combining these beautifully bourbon barrel-aged wrappers with thick, high-priming binder and filler tobaccos gives each blend a balanced complexity with layers of rich flavors and smooth, elegant aromas. Perdomo Cigars is a family-owned and operated company headquartered in Miami, Florida, manufacturing and agricultural facilities in Esteli, Nicaragua. Perdomo's highly acclaimed cigar brands include the Perdomo Estate Selección Vintage, the Perdomo Double Aged 12-Year Vintage, Perdomo 20th Anniversary, Perdomo Reserve 10th Anniversary Champagne, Perdomo Habano Bourbon Barrel Age, Perdomo Lot 23, and many more. For great tasting notes and pairing information, check out the new Perdomo website at www.perdomocigars.com. And by Miami Cigars, Nestor Miranda said it best, "There is a mystery and depth to Africa that captivates my spirit, always drawing me to come back. This cigar, Don Lino Africa, captures the way going there makes me feel. Cigar making is an art form, but in that moment when the cigar becomes art itself, you have something special. Don Lino Africa returns from Miami Cigar & Company. The brand you remember blended even more masterfully this time in partnership with Tabacalera A.J. Fernandez. It's an exotic and complex blend meant to mesmerize. Available in five box press vitolas, Don Lino Africa returns. Ask for it at your local retailer." And by Drew Estate, check out and download the Drew Diplomat app for your mobile device. Keep up with everything going on Drew Estate. Experience the subculture that is the rebirth of cigars. Available on iTunes and Google Play. For more information, check out www.drewdiplomat.com. And as always, the live streaming platform for all the Primetime shows is sponsored by Drew Estate. Welcome, everybody. This is Primetime episode 132 for this Thursday, April 2nd, 2020. This is Will Cooper. I'm on the Black Stage in the Perdomo Cigar Studios. Joined cross country by my friend and colleague and the president of the Steve Balboni Fan Club, Mr. Aaron Loomis.
How you doing tonight, Will?
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, we were doing a little fun today with all-time favorite baseball players per team, and Aaron picked Steve Balboni of the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Yankee fan, so I had to pick somebody that was just somebody that kind of caught my eye as a young baseball fan, and I wasn't going to go for any of the big guys, so I didn't see any of the amazing greats from the early years play, so I went down the path of only guys that I had seen play before.
So, you know, when I was in New York growing up, and I still, for many years, I listened to sports radio, and I know there's always that slow time of the year. I think it's like February, and they do like some of the late night sports shows are on. There's always every year they do either a Yankee stiffs or Mets stiffs show. And Steve Balboni was always like one of the all-time Yankee stiffs that came up on that list every year. So I saw that today, and I just started cracking up. I knew exactly why you picked it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. I was going to go with him or Kevin Moss.
Kevin Moss is definitely on there. Bam Bam Mullins was on there quite a bit. Yeah, but Moss was definitely on there.
Yeah.
Let's, without further ado, welcome our special guest, this featured interview sponsored by Villiger Cigars. Since 1888, Villiger Cigars have been experts in everything tobacco, including offering a wide range of premium cigars for all connoisseurs. Villiger's La Vencedora, which translates to the Victor, is the first ever full-bodied Villiger, and it carries a special meaning to Chairman of the Board, Heinrich Villiger. The Villiger La Vencedora, or the Victor, represents to Mr. Villiger the arrival of Villiger Cigars at a premium handmade cigar segment. It was time, in his opinion, to push the envelope and create a legacy cigar to serve as a proper follow-up to the highly acclaimed LaFortian Glam brand. This Nicaraguan Puro is wrapped in a beautiful Nicaraguan Habano Oscuro wrapper, posting a full-bodied smoking experience featuring highly seasoned and hearty flavors. Be sure to ask your retailer for La Vencedora, and you can visit Villiger's entire line of premium cigars at www.villigercigars.com. Well, without further ado, I want to welcome in our special guest to the Primetime Show, Mr. Luciano Meireles of Ace Prime. Luciano, welcome to Primetime.
Thank you. Thank you, William. It's a pleasure to be here tonight with you guys.
No, we appreciate the opportunity as well. And we do know, while it's a slow time we go in this right now with everything with shelter in places, it's still your personal time, and we do appreciate that.
Well, it's my pleasure, man. This is, it's been a crazy, crazy time, but, you know, it's paradoxical how people are just getting closer now.
Yeah. Just,
you know, everybody's so, I tease some of my friends, everybody's so sentimental, but actually this is a good thing. You know, I think this country, we're trying to kind of, you know, get the best out of a terrible situation. And that's what's happening right now. You know, people are closer, people are helping each other. We see more compassion, you see more, more love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of, I do see that, for sure. You know, that has been very interesting as well. You know, people, I have someone in my family suffering from the virus, and I've had people reach out to me like, who I don't even know. So it's very, very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, but I appreciate it. So Luciano, you know, we want to talk about your story tonight. And it's an interesting one, because we're going to get into it because, you know, your company really made a big splash last year, when it launched, but let's talk about you first. We always like to ask our guests who start out, how did you get started smoking cigars?
I don't even know, man. I think it was because I have so many friends smoking cigars since I was so young, and I got involved into political consultancy and dealing with different types of segments in society, you know, especially like politicians and business people. And I always remember kind of that kind of smell of cigars, you know, from my great-grandfather smoking it. And I don't know, I think it was kind of a subtle connection in the back of my brain. And when I was probably about 20-something, 22, 23 years old, that's when I really got into cigars. So it's been over 23 years.
Nice. You're muted, Coop.
Sorry about that. there would have been a little bit of noise in the background. I just wanted to feed out. So sorry about that. No, that's good. So, but you actually, before the show, you kind of shared some of your bio info with us, which I thought was very interesting. You have a long history of entrepreneurship, you know, kind of graduating from college. So talk about that, and how did it eventually lead to you wanting to get into the cigar business?
Now, that's an interesting story. So one of my main businesses was political consultancy. I would help organizations to get established overseas in different environments, different markets. And actually, I had the privilege to work with the Dominican Republic government to fight for taxes for South America. That's when was the boom of Macanudo, some other brands that are coming from DR to South America, Central America, and Eastern Europe. So they're competing with Cuban cigars at that time, and Cubans, they had this bilateral agreement with Brazil, Argentina. There was no taxes for import Cuban cigars into South America. So it was really hard for them to compete. And our company got hired to do that. That's when I met everybody in the industry, especially Ernesto, who kind of embraced me and taught me a little bit about the business back in the days. So that's how I actually got connected to the cigar industry. It was basically working for the DR government.
Very, very interesting as well. But you know, we talk about Ernesto Perez Carrillo Jr., right? I'm in that. So were you thinking at that time that you wanted to get into the cigar business, or was it just something you were kind of enjoying as you were doing things?
You know, I don't know. I think I think the way my brain's wired up, I was trying to kind of look to opportunities, and I really enjoy doing business when I find passion and I find a meaning So I don't, some people that are watching know what I'm talking about. It's just, I need a meaning to do anything. It's not just about the money. It's not about just achieving, you know. That got to be something else, something bigger than you know, ourselves. So I found a lot of passion in this industry, to be honest. You know, we're talking about Ernesto. Man, that man was so passionate about his about cigars, about his business. It was contagious. I had a very good friend of mine, a Mason brother called Brian Acevedo, who actually inspired me, I would say, to follow up on some ideas on the cigar business. He's a vet, Marine, a guy who I have a deep respect for. He kind of insisted. He wanted me to, he knew that I had connections in DR, so he wanted me to connect him with some manufacturers in Dominican Republic and create some, you know, environment for business. And that's kind of how everything started a long time ago.
So at some point, though, you went from the Dominican Republic to Nicaragua, which is where you're making your cigars.
Yeah. So it's another interesting story. So Ernesto was good friends with Pichardo. They knew each other from Cuba because of his parents. Pichardo had this kind of long journey working for Avanos SA. He was responsible for the Partagas blends. And Ernesto, when he started his factory, you know, Tabacalera Alianza, this was a few years later. I remember even like the Crownhead boys, they were also kind of around and developing projects with Ernesto a couple years later. Ernesto introduced me to Pichardo. This was back in 2009, I think, or 2008. He was actually really busy, and we were just doing one cigar, one blend called Mireles y Acevedo. It was a very small operation, very small business. And Ernesto came to me and said, "Hey, Luciano, I love you, but we're going to get busy from now on." So, but I know a guy who is a tremendous blender. He's actually living in Brazil right now, and he's moving to Nicaragua, and you guys should connect. So that's when I met Pichardo. I met Pichardo because of Ernesto. And Pichardo and I became good friends, and we've been together for 12 years.
And as far as Pichardo goes, this is a, you know, this factory, that he has a factory there. It's not a new factory, right? This is a factory that's been around for a while, but they were doing a lot of private labels. Is that it?
Yeah, that's correct. So, yeah, we've been working, like you said, under the radar for a long time. And that was exactly the purpose. People in Steli, they know who we are. They know the quality of our construction, the quality of our cigars. But we didn't have any brands that we would that would be the face of our company, especially United States. You know, we had 22 brands all over the world. And we've been working under NDA for a long time. And that was actually our specialty. So we became very good at it.
You also mentioned the Mireles y Acevedo cigar. And I remember, I think I met both you and Brian a few years ago at the trade show at the Duran Cigars booth. And I guess there was a plan to distribute that line at one point, right, in the U.S.
Man, I think this encounter of us right now, it's just historical. Because actually, you were the first one to report in one of my cigars. You're absolutely right. I was actually checking that out, and it looks like you were the first one to report a cigar ever made in our factory. And it's true. The Mireles Acevedo was a cigar that we manufactured. At that time, Pichardo was also working with Roberto Duran. He was basically blending for him. And Roberto offered to distribute that cigar. It was an incredible cigar with a beautiful Matafina binder.
Yeah,
that kind of, it was very unique taste profile, and you know, we kept it small, but again, the business grew in another side. So we decided to really specialize in building cigars for other companies. We decided to not compete with them for a while.
Okay, when you kind of went over to Nicaragua, and are you a partner in this factory, or are you just a client of the factory?
No, we've been partners for a long time. Okay. Actually, I was already owner of the factory when he started in 2005. I came in 2008.
Okay. So are you doing this now full time, or do you still have your other businesses to tend to right now?
Man, I just focus 100% of my time in the cigar industry for a long time. It's been almost 10 years just focus on the cigar. I mean, of course, I do have other businesses. This is a passion, like for a long time, but it became more than that. It became a mission. You get to know a little more about our story. When I say we started 12 years ago, we started with a couple of tables, you know, in a garage, and working almost as a nonprofit business. We're helping villages in Nicaragua, working a decentralized operation, and today we are manufacturing 2.5 million cigars a year.
That's a great story there. That's a great story there. As far as, you know, again, you know, and you mentioned in your bio, and it was something that I that really struck me when I was looking at this. There was a line where you said you really overcame a lot of adversity to kind of get to this point. How do you look back at that now? I mean, because you said you had a lot of adversity. Sounded like as when you were younger, as this goes.
Man, we're getting deep here now. So I think it was probably Carol who followed that to you. It's a long story. If I can make it short.
Sure.
Both my parents, they were both, it's actually a very contradictory story. So my grandfather, he was a Baptist minister. He was a pastor. But my father, he was a drug addict, and so was my mom. When I was born, my mom was 17, my father was 16, and for some kind of craziness, they decided to stay together, get married, and I lived with them for maybe 6 months, 7 months. So my grandparents ended up adopting me. So I grew up with my uncle as a brother. Basically, our ages were, our difference was like 5 years. So had a 5 year old, older than me uncle, and we grew up as brothers. And there's several stories, you know, in my life those stories happened to be, known after a friend of mine published in his book. That's what happened. Yeah, I mean, I'm blessed that I had great grandparents who took care of me, and I had so many opportunities because of them. And you know, so my mom never stopped using heroin while she was pregnant, and this whole drama story around it. So.
Sure, no, I understand. All right, so you're working with this factory, and we see this a lot, in terms of, you know, at some point the factory wants to put out their own brand. You know, you're making stuff for other people. So there was a point where you made a strategic decision to launch. What I thought, and I guess a lot of us were very surprised about, is how big you launched at the trade show this year. Because I think Aaron and I have commented on this, like, back up, but we haven't seen a company launch that as wide as a company has, you know, several years right now. So what went into that type of decision to kind of come out? Because you guys came out with a lot of lines at the trade show.
Yeah, I think there's three angles here. I think the first one is the opportunity. I think because of all this, the FDA regulations, all the environment that we are living right now in, a lot of people are discouraged to launch anything new. And I look at that as an opportunity. I knew that whatever we do would make some noise because nobody was doing anything.
Right.
So we basically took advantage of that and really came in when nobody. Got a few guys who kind of got in as well, but very, very small. So we thought it was a good opportunity. I mean, the other angle was the fact that Tiago, my partner, basically was a huge enthusiast of the idea of launching our own brands. You know, there's a fun story about Tiago. You mentioned about the Morales y Acevedo. So I kept sending these cigars for a lot of my friends. I happened to have some, that's what they call the celebrity friends, right? Which is, I find it kind of silly sometimes, especially when you live with someone for so many years, you just don't see people as celebrities because they are close, they are friends. But I've been sending the cigars for a lot of friends. And there's a story, a couple of our boxes, not a couple, actually, we sent about 8 or 10 boxes. We sent to the San Antonio Spurs. And the coach basically kept those cigars there in case they would want 2013. And they had this final against the Miami Heats. They lost the game. Thiago was pissed. He got his box of cigars and he just threw it away. He had no idea who cigar was manufactured by our company. A year later, so he play again against the Heats. They win. And I see pictures on the internet all over the place of him and all the guys smoking our cigars. And I said, well, they kept the cigars probably in a locker. There's a good humidity there, I guess, because I don't believe they have a big humidor to keep all those cigars there. But I see them smoking it. And the first thing I say when I see Thiago was, hey, man, how was the cigar? They said, what cigar? So the one you smoked last week. I said, was that yours? I said, yeah. And he's like, you got to be kidding me, man. This is awesome. And then we kind of reconnect a couple years later. He got married, and I actually manufactured that same taste profile, and gave it as a wedding gift to his party. And Thiago, he was like, man, we got to launch your own lines. You can't just do this. I said, no, man, I'm happy. The company it's working. The factory is profitable. We have a good reputation. I got good friends. I get to go to Nicaragua every month. So, you know, but he really pushed, and I'm so thankful that he did, because of him, we are here today.
Yeah. So he's a partner in the company, correct?
He is. Yep. He's a partner in the factory and the distribution. So we are one vertical group, FaceBrand.
Yep. No, that's good. I know Thiago spent 1 year with my team, the Sixers. So I have a little
that's
bit
true.
Of As long as he's with my team, you know, that's all good. Yeah. So I'm sorry he had to leave the Spurs, though, because I think we were still an up and coming. We weren't like rock bottom. We were getting better, I think, when he was on there. But that was his, I think that was his last year, right? I think that was his last year with the Sixers.
Yeah, I think it was a year before he retired.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah. I mean, like I said, it was a big launch there. We'll get into a little more of the celebrity story. Aaron, anything we want to hit up until this point that we missed maybe?
Yeah. I mean, at the trade show, you guys had a big presentation also at the kind of the opening breakfast as well. And that was that mm-hmm. part of the whole plan and trying to get, more FaceTime with, all the attendees of the trade show.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to find ways to really, get to be known. I don't know if you guys noticed, we got some nice endorsements from some friends. Even though we had some NDA signed, some of our clients came up and said that we made cigars for them, which helped, you know, this the whole thing about credibility, which is important, of course. And the breakfast was kind of an opportunity. Nobody actually, if you look at the sponsorship deck, usually it's like the last thing that people get, it's the breakfast. Because, you know, people... a lot of people like to wake up early in Vegas, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But actually, we developed a very interesting content, and it was a good opportunity for the sponsorship deck for us as well. Because of all the friendships and connections we have, we're able to leverage a little bit that too, which benefit the show, the trade show, PCA. You guys probably saw the basketball court we had behind our booth. So those things are nice, but you know, those are gimmicks. Those are just to create buzz. We're really happy with the results in terms of what people really, really found about us, like in terms of the quality of our products and what we developed. I believe we did surprise people, not only because of the quality of our booth and the presence in the show, but also and mainly because of the quality of our products. We were told by many friends and colleagues that they've never seen a company opening so many accounts in one trade show.
You know, Luciano, you made a really good point and on this. Is I haven't seen before when a company launched, like, kind of the endorsements you got from other people in the industry. That was something I thought that was very unique. And I think it was a really smart move that you guys actually went and promoted that as well. I think it really gave – because there were a lot of credible people I saw with statements there. So – I think that was a really good job how you effectively used that. I got to give you guys a lot of credit on that as well.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Like I said, we have good friends. And then it might sound naive, you know, but I do believe that there are several people in this industry that are absolutely passionate for what they do. And then when they see the sincere of your heart, when they see that you are also on the same page, that what you're doing is not just because you want to make money out of all this. You want actually to propagate this culture. You want to make sure that we perpetuate the culture of premium cigars. And there's so many beautiful stories, you know, that I could tell you about colleagues and some of these guys. You know a little bit about my story with Carrillo, with Pichardo. There are so many other stories, you know, with different people that proves that this is truly a family. This is not just a business, which is very important to be reminded in times like now.
Right. No, that's absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, it was a great presentation at the opening day as well, at the opening breakfast as well.
Thank you.
Because sometimes we've had some boring ones. So you know, that was really exciting to see that. You know, you mentioned the story about Thiago. The other name that was from the NBA that was a big name, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer. I wasn't as surprised about this name because I had met him once at Corona Cigar in Orlando. That's Dominique Wilkins.
Yeah.
So how
Dominique's
did you,
a great guy.
Right. So how so. I know that you know Bear. He co-hosts with me on Tuesdays.
Of course.
And it was funny because Bear, we divide up the booze, right? And he really He's a little bit of a starstruck guy. He's like, and we both wanted to do the Ace Prime booth, obviously meet you guys, but Bear was like, I drew the short story, and I was like, no, Bear, go do it. And he obviously met Dominique and Thiago and you, and he came back just raving. And one thing he said, particularly about Dominique and Thiago, is both these guys are really into these cigars. They're not just like putting a name on it.
That's right. So, and more than that, you know, but let's talk a little bit about Dominique. Dominique is one of the greatest human beings I've ever met in my life. You know, of course, he's a successful basketball player. Everybody knows him as the best dunker in the world, Hall of Fame, All-Star 9 times. So the guy is truly a legend. But one of the things most people don't know, it's that the MXS brand, I know it sounds weird, but it's not a celebrity brand. Or we consider let's say the excellence and success that we mention in this brand has nothing to do with the fact that these guys are celebrities. Of course, there's a little catch in there, I agree, I assume. But I'll just tell you a very brief story about this brand. When we were inviting some of our friends to sign the blends, there was a few requirements that we had in the back of our heads. The first one was he has to know cigars. He has to have the cigar culture in him. And Dominique is a guy who has been smoking cigars for more than, I don't know, 40 years probably. He smokes cigars for longer than I do. And he's a guy who smokes every day. He's a guy who has the cigar culture in his blood, you know. He happens to be an excellent basketball player. Otherwise, he probably would be a very good blender as well. he actually has a tremendous palate. So a cool story about the MXS Dominique Wilkins is that I never produced that many blends for someone to pick one. Like I think I've sent, if I'm not exaggerating, 30 different blends. And the very last one, which I liked a lot, which is the one that we're using right now, he even changed the wrapper at the end. He said, we're supposed to be a Pennsylvania wrapper. And he said, no, I want to with that Mexican Senators. Can you get their wrapper from the Liga 25 and put on the Liga 30? So that's how, nice. How much he knows about cigars. So, you know, it was a no-brainer. And also his heart, man, that guy, he spends his entire time now just supporting his charity. He supports a charity called Culture City. He's on the board of that charity. He's the president of the board of that charity. He's a family guy who takes a very good care of all his kids and supports so many people, his entire family. If someone gets to know this guy deep inside, we'll see that not only him, but Thiago, he's a tremendous guy. Now Adrian Gonzalez, who is a baseball legend, that's a guy who the first thing when we were discussing this possibility, he just said, hey, I want to make sure that 100% of the proceeds of my royalties, they go to my foundation. So, I mean, those guys don't need the money. No, they do out of passion. And that's why we decided, if you look at the MXS box, there's the logo right there in the center, MXS. And you have the signature of some of these celebrities. But guess what? I'm going to actually reveal a surprise for you guys. You know what's our next MXS launch after Adrian, which is coming out at PCA, if we have PCA?
What is that?
It's going to be called the MXS Lester. And Lester is an employee of our factory. And he's been working in our factory for 7 years now. When we've been moving from facility to facility, you know, we have time, we'll tell you the story since the beginning, but since we've been growing, right? And instead of just moving to a different place, we would decentralize and create a new factory. So there was a time where we had like 3 factories in Nicaragua. So we moved to this very poor neighborhood because we tried to push the city hall to create some infrastructure in that neighborhood. Started with tobacco processing in that facility. And we saw this guy, man, just living in the streets. He had no family. The guy didn't know how to read or write. But you could see that the boy was just looking for a job and a way to survive, you know? So we tried to look at him and kind of, you know, really try to help, feed him, brought him to work at the factory, sorting tobacco, wetting the floor, mopping everything. You know, he became like a go-for guy. Today, this guy, he's married, he has kids, he's supporting his family. He works in he knows every single area of our factory. And like him, I have, you know, several other guys. So he's going to represent all the employees of our factory in this new MXS blend. And he's going to be in the same platform as Dominique Wilkins, Adrian Gonzalez, and Thiago Splitter.
Oh, nice.
That's a great story. Yeah. So it's not, you know, and that's a good point. So MXS, it's not just a celebrity sports line. It's for people that you really feel have achieved and exceeded. So that's a great story there.
That's correct. And if you look at our Cigar Aficionado ad, there is this interesting editorial with Shaq, right? And at the very last page, there's his picture and there's our ad. And our ad says, "More than celebrity."
Okay.
Nice.
That is good.
It is our MXS campaign, you know. It's not just about being a celebrity. The maximum excellent success is contained in the people, in the person's values, life, you know, how he truly is, not just what he achieves.
So, you know, as you build the MXS line, there's different blends that are going in there. And the idea is with all these people, they've had it tailored to them. So is like this Lester person in the factory you mentioned, is he kind of taking the same process on as Adrian Gonzalez and everyone else in terms of involvement with the selection of the blend?
Yeah. I mean, Lester, he's always smoking things here and there, but I think it's more than that. I mean, he knows all the process from fermentation
to
bunching, wrapping. But he's still a guy who is he's sort of a problem solver. Like his main ability is to look at any situation that needs to be solved and go there and fix it. And he's very much passionate about it. You know, we have some other beautiful stories that will be told a long way with this campaign, because Lester is just a representation of something bigger, you know, which is the true involvement and the level of passion of the workers that are involved in the process of manufacturing cigar.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. You mentioned Adrian Gonzalez. How did that relationship come about getting with Adrian?
Oh man, Adrian was a few years ago. So the guy who wrote the book, his name is Uri McManus. He's a New York bestseller, big writer. He was very close to Adrian. One day we have this event in his house. He introduced me to Adrian. We became good friends, my wife and his wife. A few years later, we reconnected. We were actually at a Clippers Lakers game. And he asked me about Dominique's cigar. He said, "Oh, is this cigar good?" I said, "Yeah, it's really good." So when I'm going to have my cigar. So, well, let's talk about it. that's kind of how it happened, you know. And again, we're talking about a guy. Just dig him, man. That guy is amazing. If you get to know this guy, he's such a beautiful soul, you know. If you read the stuff about him, what he does for people, and again, a very successful man, a very successful player, but a family guy, a guy that has, you know, deep values with him. And those are people, those are the people that we want to really connect and be and really bring to this industry. You know, we need more of these.
No, I agree. So I got to ask this question, Luciano, because everyone on our team's a baseball big baseball fan. Was Adrian, were plans were to bring Adrian to the trade show this year, if they have one?
So, yes, he is actually already in. If we have the trade show, he'll be there.
Oh, Bear's gonna be borrowing me to get tickets already now. and but the bad news is I'm covering the Ace Prime group this year, Bears. No, we'll be there. No, so that's awesome. That's because we've seen, you know what, we've seen the athletes who have been coming to the trade show in the last few years. And I'll put Karl Malone in there as well. They really are kind of, I thought they'd be bored at the trade show. They seem to be enjoying them. Bear said Dominique and Thiago are loving it there. So
yeah, they have a great time. And I think, I love Carl too. I think Carl was, he's really enjoying this whole thing. I think he's with the La Aurora guys.
Yeah. Yeah. He was, he ranks probably, Aaron, you didn't see how nervous I was that day. I do get a little bundle of nerves for certain interviews, and it's random, but that one I was pretty nervous.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the only way we could do that interview is they only wanted a one-on-one. I did offer it to Aaron. He stepped aside. I'm like, okay, so now I got to do this thing. So, but I did offer it to Aaron. So.
I know.
It's so interesting how, like, if you, even like these guys, you know, if you notice, if you try and approach any of these guys, like, you know, just eye to eye, just as human being, you know, you can get so much good things, you know. I mean, some of these guys are just waiting for just to have, like, you know, a true relationship, you know, just to interact normally. Everybody comes to them and say, "Hey, I'm a huge fan of yours." Or, that guy heard that story all day long, and it, especially, I think the cigar industry provides that kind of interaction where people can just come and say, "Hey, what kind of cigar you like, and what do you do, and what you do on your weekends, and what are you smoking right now?" And more like, you know, that kind of human interaction, which is very important.
Totally agree. What are some of the pluses and minuses you've had of working with the sports celebrities in the industry?
In my case, I don't see any minus. I know that there is a history of celebrity cigars that just don't take off, right? And I think the reason why is because they are sometimes just small projects. They are, for some companies, it's just like a limited or temporary. I'm happy to see that Carl is taken seriously and he's moving forward with his brand. I think it's a great thing. But, you know, I'm not going to mention names here, but most of the celebrities, unfortunately, the brand just doesn't take off, you know. And I think the main reason is because sometimes it's not of the interest of the manufacturer who is making it. Again, some of these guys... you have to pay royalties. Some of them are interested in developing a business and they expect different things. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But I think we don't have a good track record of celebrity cigars. But in our case, I don't believe, again, there are cigars. I know it's seen that way, but I believe we're trying to catalyze all that energy back into something positive. As I was explaining to you, this is going to give us an even bigger platform to say, hey, guess what? That maximum excellence success is not an effect that the guys just admire because of his basketball skills or professional skills. It's actually because of his holistic being, because of he's a human being who cares for humanity, cares for people. He's a good guy, you know, and he loves cigars and he can be a great ambassador for this industry. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the approach. The same way that I believe Lester is a tremendous ambassador for this industry. We need that kind of stuff right now. We need to look back and never forget how many hands touched the cigars before we put in our mouth, you know, especially in times like this where factories are shutting down everywhere. And it's a lot of people who are getting unemployed. So there's a lot of things going on that people have no idea that's going on in backstage. People are concerned about so many things today. I'm telling you, man, we are lucky in this country because what's happening in countries like Honduras right now, I spoke to Christian Arroyo the other day. He was really, really sad. I mean, he almost cried. Like he was saying, man, I don't know what to do. You know, mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, we have a lot of people who depend on us and again, guys like Christian, guys like us, guys like Rocky, you have so many, you know, very good guys out there who are truly taking care of the employees. Even though the factories are closed, they're paying people's salary.
Right.
You know, so we've been closed for a week and we've been paying our guys and we're going to continue to pay for as long as we can. And everybody would take a loss. And that's what is about this entire industry. You know, I mean, not the entire industry, what I call the family of the premium cigars. The premium cigar family.
So that's a good story there to hear. And I'm sorry your factory's closed down too. You know, it's unfortunate. We'll hit some of the challenges of this in a little bit on the show with that. Mm-hmm. But there was some really good news that happened today. And I think I was mentioning I was going to ask you a question about distribution, and you kind of changed the whole question there with the announcement of the partnership with Crown Heads. So here's my first question. I know you've had a relationship with Crown Heads. You know, the Juarez is coming out of your factory. Very good cigar, by the way, for the price, by the way. I couldn't believe the value on that.
Thank you.
But Crown Heads, small company in terms of maybe their sales force. Why look at Crown Heads maybe as a distribution partner? They are not saying they can't do it, but they are smaller there. So what went into that?
Again, my friend, it's not just about the size or the power of distribution. It's about the passion. Mm-hmm. And again, the Crown Heads has a very interesting distribution. Actually, I believe they are one of the most effective distributions we have in this country. You probably know Miguel. Miguel does this amazing job.
Oh, he does. He does.
He has I think they have about 6 people in their sales force. But those guys work their ass off. And I don't know of any company who has that many reps working so hard controlling over 1,000 stores. You know, this is not small. No. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, well, it goes beyond that. It's, you know, those guys are, we have a history. Miguel and I, we go way back, even when he was working with Duran. Actually, the first time when you and I met, Cooper, Miguel was working for Duran.
Yep.
And so we connected back then. This was probably about like 6 years ago, 7 maybe. And then John, I knew John, I knew Mike from before. We kind of connected a little closer like 3 years ago. Those guys are also legit, you know. They are people, they are passionate about this industry. We've been like interacting with them for a long time, you know, sending blends and talking about the industry and the future. And, you know, it happened that we aligned our goals. We had some very strong commonalities, and it was the right time, the right momentum. Again, you asked me the question about the trade show, and I got the same question today from Cigar Aficionado. They are asking, like, why you guys chose this time during the coronavirus pandemic to join forces. I said, well, because there's an opportunity right there. And yeah. And we sure believe in this opportunity. And also because I just love those guys to death. They are amazing people.
No, they're great. Their whole team is great. And you know, I know Miguel a long time too, and he has always been talking about, I mean, the Merlez Acevedo was something he was telling me about as mm-hmm. I was getting to know him. So he was very excited about that project. I know he was over at Duran. And I'll say this, I actually thought it was a great time because it was, the downer, you don't still want to hear the downer news. This was a very exciting. And so I think it's a good move for you because I think that was the one piece that obviously distribution sometimes people will say is harder than producing the cigars. So you got a team that has been doing it for about a decade now. So that's good.
Yep. I think it's a great partnership. You know, we call it a strategic alliance. You know, there's a lot into it. That's next week. There will be some more news about some, common projects that we are working together. But distribution is something that we are really excited about doing with them. We believe that we have the same mentality. We have the same goals. And I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm extremely excited. You know, John is a great guy, a great brain. Mike too, great heart. So again, you feel like it's the right thing. It's just like the right thing to do. You know, it feels like family. You know, when we talk, when we sit down and we look at things, we look at things the same way, and it makes everything easy. You know, it's really like a marriage. You know, you gotta really love.
And you had a little bit of a trial dating period already, because I mean, you guys worked on Juarez. Juarez is a project that you guys were able to work together. So there was some familiarity there. You knew Miguel for a long time too. So you're right. It was kind of like consummating the marriage, I guess, what you did there. So I could definitely see that.
So it's funny when people talk about Juarez, they say, oh, it's a great cigar for the price, right? So the story behind the cigar is that we made the cigar for we've been doing like the small projects for them, right? So we made the cigar for a German client, a client from Germany, his distributor in Germany, who wants a exclusive cigar. And we put a lot of energy in building that blend. You know, it has a lot of very good tobacco in that cigar. And it's not a cheap cigar, I'm telling you. It's not an inexpensive cigar. It's an expensive cigar to make. But, Mike Hake came with this opportunity. Those guys ended up now doing a project. Mike came with this opportunity with Thompson that ended up becoming CI. And they just didn't put much effort into distributing the cigar. But the reason why the price was so low is because of, Thompson and CI. And that's actually the reason why. You know, it was supposed to be a project where that would be a massive distribution. So the margins were a little smaller for them. But for us, it was treated as any other, quality blend that we produce. So it's a very well-aged cigar. It's all premium tobacco in that cigar. So that's a cigar that was supposed to cost $12.50. And it happens to cost $7, $6 you can find, I guess, in a lot of places. But it's a cigar that we're proud of, and they're selling a lot of that cigar. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I was glad it went regular national. There's another guy who I work with out of Australia. I do the music show with him. He's a big Crown Heads fan, and he's like, you got to get me some more of those Crown Heads, the limiteds they came out with. I'm like, I'll get them. Except except everything. I said, Dave, the problem is when I ship it to you, it's sitting in the U.S. right now because nothing's going out. So yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I sent him stuff on March 10th, and it's like they're still sitting in the U.S. because everything's international shipments are really getting scrutinized right now. So
yeah,
it is. Be patient. I said, just be patient. We'll get you. So I assume, you know, as the partnership goes, you know, there'll probably be more projects, right, that you guys will be doing together out of that factory, I would imagine.
Yeah, we do have some plans. We do have some projects ahead, and there'll be some interesting news very soon.
Nice.
Yeah, that's very nice. That's very nice.
Yeah.
So let's turn to, you know, some of your – we talked a lot about the MXS. You know, one thing I noticed about you could tell me if I'm wrong here. You know, as I looked at your lines, the MXS, I was looking at the Tiago cigar, uses that Sumatra wrapper. You seem to – the Sumatra wrapper seems to be something you like or that you like because there's a lot of offerings with that.
I love the Sumatra wrapper, and I like it to use as well as a binder. I love the salinity. It's just like a good – it's a good, actually, leaf to blend with Nicaraguan leaves. Not with all of them, but with some of them. So yeah, I do like it. I think, and one of the things we do with Ace Prime, of course I have everybody comes to your show brags a little bit. So I have to brag a little bit about our cigars, right?
Absolutely.
We tell the truth to our consumer and to our clients, our retailers, in everything you do. So when we tried, when we built the Tiago Splitter MXS that has a Sumatra wrapper, we used a first cut of Sumatra, which is extremely thin, which is the same used on the Luciano, on the 47 by 6.5. And that was not a good move. We had some issues with, especially the fast smokers. When they smoke too fast, you see the wrapper kind of breaking here and there because it's a sublime, and it's too thick of a cigar to have that thin of a wrapper, you know. And we start recalling it. Just say, hey, just ship it back. We'll send you a new batch that has that problem fixed. So why I'm saying this? It's because transparency, it's one of the signatures of our company. Remember that we were born as cigar constructors. We were not born as a marketing company. We're not born to make a blend succeed. We actually originate into making perfect cigars. That's what is our DNA. And we are very proud of that. Now, of course, everybody makes mistakes, and we all make mistakes along the way, and just a few recognize them. And we are proud to say that the products we make, we really try perfection. We try to produce products that will surprise, you know, the average smoker, that will definitely impress, you know, somehow with a different taste profile of something that was not done before. Like the Sumatra, for instance, I think a lot of people are using dark Sumatra. You didn't see many people using, the Sumatra as binder, and the Sumatra and the thin Sumatra as wrapper. And we try with different blends, and really worked well. I'm smoking actually right now the Pichardo Classico, which has the Sumatra wrapper on it, and I love this. This is a tremendous kind of floral cigar.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the Sumatras you've had, and I'll say the Luciano, which it's that size. Like, I think I don't know. You mentioned this, I think, in one of when you were announcing the cigar. The size is kind of like a real unique size you talked about. And I'm like, why haven't more people made that size? So talk about that size that went into that cigar.
Well, it's a limited edition, and we wanted to really draw attention, and also. Because when I'm blending, me in particular, I like to blend in a Corona Gorda size. So that's kind of my size to blend. And I try to kind of blend using the entire length of the leaf. So the longest the cigar, the better. So I can taste the different parts of the fillers. So I actually came with the size because it was the size I blend. I blended. That's the reason why, to be absolutely honest with you. It is a hybrid of a Corona Gorda and a Churchill, basically.
That's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
That's what I loved about it.
It is. But the reason why it came out is just because it was the one that was the blend. You know, that's another thing, too, that I kind of – Pichardo is very strict to that. And Arsenio Ramos was one of our mentors. He was kind of same way. I believe – and although what I'm going to say, it's maybe a little polemic, but I believe that a taste when you build a taste profile on a cigar in a specific size, that taste profile cannot be replicated in different sizes. You can get something close to it. You can maybe find something similar, to have similar notes, but it's not the same experience. It's just impossible.
So, yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you guys agree with me, but.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. And, you know, the Luciano the Traveler, again, it has that Pelo de Oro in there, which that cigar I really enjoyed, by the way. Is it a one-time limited edition, or is it limited production ongoing?
It's a limited production ongoing. So we've been curing this tobacco for a long time. We planted some Pelo de Oro a couple years ago. So it's not mature yet, but we had enough to produce 25,000. There is another 35,000 that will be produced 6 months from now. So we'll be probably ready for the market in a year and a half. So it is a limited production. We will come back, but we are almost out of it.
Right.
So if you to your audience, if you want to get the 100% Filo de Oro cigar, make sure you order now from I forgot to put my hat, man. I told John I was going to put my hat. There we go.
There you go.
Now you order from this guy's here, and you can get the Luciano Traveler.
Miguel's gonna be busy. Miguel, good for you. And you also mentioned you have the Pachardo line, which is a line obviously named after the factory and one of your blender too. Talk a little about what that line's about.
So the Pachardo cigars carries the name of my dear partner, and of course it represents the history of his family, his tradition. He's a fourth generation of tobacconists. We have basically two lines of the Pachardo, and one of the lines is divided in three taste profiles. One is the Reserve Familiar, which means family reserve. We have on the San Andres, the Havano, and the hybrid Connecticut. It's a hybrid of Connecticut and Havano. It's a 75% Connecticut, 25% Havano. And I can explain that if you guys want.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
But that's one of the lines, and then we have the classical line, which is the one I'm smoking right now, and we are launching the Maduro, Pachardo Maduro. So our let's say our core lines of Pachardo will be the Pachardo Maduro and the classical, and then we have the Reserve, which is our it's a different process of manufacturing that cigar. It's very unique in the sense that we don't ship that cigar out of the factory unless they are at least 18 months of rolled in our aging room. So we have a very strict process with that cigar, but we planned quite well the production of the cigar. So we always manufacture that cigar in a very fair quantity, make sure we can supply the demand, and we've been always like adjusting that production as we grow. So it's very unique in that sense. I mean, the word for the Pachardo Reserve is truly aging. Everything that comes from our factory, that's one of our signatures too. We really try to make our cigars really kind of rounded. Even if you smoke our strongest cigar, which is the San Andres, the Pachardo San Andres, which has triple the hair on it. It just don't feel any harshness, any spiciness. It's completely rounded. The reason why is because of the process that we have, the aging. You are smoking a cigar that has this amazing amount of nicotine without feeling any harshness or spiciness because there's no raw tobacco in there. So I only use one leaf of Seco in that cigar, and everything else is Viso and Ligero.
And then you mentioned that hybrid wrapper. Talk a little about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the hybrid wrapper, it's a – I have here one cigar. So I don't know if you can see. It looks like almost like an opaque kind of Connecticut, mm-hmm. right? So this is a – this is a seed that was developed by Arsenio a long time ago in Pichardo. This was back in, I think, 1999 or 2000. They've been trying to create a wrapper that would be a little more resistant because you know how thin the Connecticut is, and also with less acidity. Most of the Connecticut has that kind of metallic taste, the acidity mm-hmm. that's very present in any cigar. So we tried to kind of remove that by creating this hybrid seed, mixing with a Havano, with a Cojojo Havano. And we came up with this tremendous result. And this has been a huge success because when you have that type of taste profile in a wrapper, you can start building stronger blends using Connecticut, which that's what we intended to do since the beginning. You know, we wanted to just kind of think out of the box and say, everybody puts a Connecticut wrapper in a mild cigar. So what if we can build a stronger blend using a Connecticut, you know, that same kind of smooth, silky wrapper, but with a more like medium full taste profile. So that's the whole idea with the cigar. We are working with a double the hair on this cigar, and I have this amazing wrapper. So if I tell people like, oh, you're going to get some kind of, you know, cocoa notes out of this cigar, they said it's impossible. This is a Connecticut, so we'll try it.
Nice. Very nice. There was also another line that you had at the show. It was actually the Ace line. That was the A Cuban Experience line. Talk about that one.
So we're really proud of this cigar. So they are actually a private label. So they are not an Ace Prime brand.
Okay.
We had some conversations about bringing them in to our house of brands. This is actually a client from a cigar lounge in Waukegan, Illinois, called A Cuban Experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think the Ace Prime, the Ace stands for A Cuban Experience of Ace Prime, but it doesn't. So there's a lot of confusion out there. But the Cuban Experience cigars are just amazing. We built a Lancero that got a very good rating, even from you guys and from many other cigar rating agencies. They love the Lancero, and actually we are thankful that most of our cigars got a very good rating from not only just from you guys, from some other people as well. I think the only bad rating I got in a cigar came from a guy who could show pictures of my wrapper cracked. He said that the construction was not good. So what can I do? I don't know who shipped the cigar. I don't know who he bought the cigar from. But I'm not one of those guys who get picky on you know, bet ratings. This is right. Just learning experience, and that's how it is.
Yeah, that's but it happens. I mean, it, sometimes when that sometimes when you get a bad review, you get more attention.
Yeah,
that's true. Sometimes, you know, the bad news, just like this whole celebrity thing, we loved it because we had this whole idea like since last year, and Mark Reddy, who's our marketing guy, and he's been like, you know, planning this the entire time. I said, I know people say this is a celebrity guy. One day we're going to just flip the table. I said, I love the idea. So when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And it's happening now. And we love this because, you know, marketing must reflect always the truth. The thing about, you know, you see a lot of brands out there, you know, just kind of telling stories that just don't make sense. We really want to be genuine to what we do. And here's another reason why we got with Crown Heads. I believe those guys are legit. You know, they believe John has this amazing palate. So, and they embrace it. You know, they embrace the fact that their cigars are made by different factories, and they pick what they want. They build the blends they want, and they create this amazing cigars with so many good manufacturers. You know, my padrino Ernesto makes amazing cigars for them. You know, what can I say?
Yeah, as I'm talking to you tonight, and as I've gotten to know John and the Crown Heads team, I see it now. Mm-hmm. I can see where you both. I see it. So that's. I think it is going to be a very good marriage now for you guys, and a long one for you guys. So I think it's excellent news there. So that's wonderful to hear. As far as that goes, Aaron, do you have anything else for this segment?
I think you got it covered.
Okay, we're gonna do. How are you doing on time, Luciano? Are you okay to do a couple short?
Man,
seconds?
I'm having fun here, man. I can't stay here for. All right. I'm smoking my cigar. I'm drinking my bourbon here. I'm fine.
So if you want to stretch for a moment, just do a word from sponsors, and then we'll kind of get into our next segment. All right. I want to mention, of course, Tailored Smoke, located in the heart of downtown Charlotte's epicenter and now the Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord, North Carolina. Tailored Smoke is your one-stop shop for a tailored smoking experience. Located right across the street on the epicenter from the where the Hornets play. And Gary Tobacco, the authentic Corojo leaf is one of the most robust and flavorful leaves out there. During the golden age of cigars in Cuba, it was a leaf of choice to make some of the world's greatest cigars. Because it is one of the most challenging ones to cultivate, it fell out of favor by the 1990s. In the Hamastron Valley of Honduras, Julio Araroa took on the challenge of growing Corojo from the original seeds. And in 2000, he successfully reintroduced authentic Corojo back to the market. With over 50 years experience in the tobacco business from growing and curing tobacco to cigar production, the Gary Tobacco Farm has been able to continue to deliver products to market with authentic Corojo. Now with Gary Tobacco, Julio and his son Justo bring their very own brand to market, each containing the authentic Corojo leaf. Tadascano is a mild to medium cigar in Connecticut and Habano. Rancho Luna is a premium medium cigar available in Habano and Maduro. And Aladino is available in a 100% authentic Corojo Puro, San Andres Maduro, or Ecuadorian Connecticut shade, representing the golden age of cigars from 1947 to 1961. Now available at your local retailer, be sure to ask for Gary Tobacco, a legacy that is tasted in every drawer. And by Toscano Cigars. Toscano cigars, as rustic and strong as the people who smoke them, try the Toscano's rustic and full-bodied flavors and aromas. made in Italy, 100% dark fire cured tobacco from the United States and Italy, is one of the best-selling cigars in the world. Toscano Cigars are the perfect combination of Italian and American craftsmanship, whether in the traditional long format or the short format Toscanello. Toscanello Cigars are dry-cured, handmade, and fire-cured for your enjoyment anytime, anywhere. Visit your local premium cigar retailer today and look for Toscano Cigars today. And by A.J. Fernandez Cigars. A.J. Fernandez's New World brand is named in honor of the discovery of tobacco by Christopher Columbus's expedition in 1492. Fernandez collaborated with his father Ismael on the cigar, which is comprised of a wrapper from Nicaragua that covers binder from the Jalapa Valley and a filler blend from Ometepe, Condega, and Esteli tobaccos. The core line debuted in 2014 and was followed by the New World Connecticut, the New World Puro Especial, and the New World Cameroon. All four blends are able to captivate the palate of any cigar smoker. If you're beginning to discover the world of fine premium handmade cigars, the New World Connecticut's for you. If you're into the rich full-body blends, Puro Especial's for you. If you're into complex flavors, New World Cameroon's for you. And if you're into the robust and earthy flavors with notes of espresso, the New World Core Line is definitely for you. Visit www.ajfernandezcigars.com to learn more. And buy Alec Bradley Cigars. You ever plunk down hard-earned cash for a cigar? You're hoping you just bought yourself a nice drive through Taste Town, only to discover you're in a slow lane with a clunker? That sucks. Say goodbye to the bad rides. Test drive an Alec Bradley cigar today. At Alec Bradley, they get it. Whether they were talking about life or cigars, it's all about the ride. Visit alecbradley.com to learn more. And we're going to get into our Live True segment where we kind of take a little bit of a break from the hardcore cigar talk. And we kind of just talk about things in the cigar lounge. But we can't do that because many lounges around the country are unfortunately cannot open because of the coronavirus threat. So a lot of us are sheltering in place at home. And I kind of just thought maybe this would be an interesting topic to talk about is what is some of you guys doing maybe at home that you haven't been doing before? What have you been doing? Have you been doing anything different now? You've been on the road. You're not down the factory.
Well, I'm trying to bring the factory home. To be honest, but before I actually tell you what I'm doing, I just want to, if you don't mind, I just want to say hi to a couple guys here.
Absolutely.
So Tiago is watching us right now. Tiago Splitter. We got Miguel Shoulders here too. I got my brothers from Barrington Lodge, Ozzy. A bunch of guys. Zach, who else here? Bo, some people from our team. I mean, a lot of friends, a lot of guys here. So just want to say hi to all of them. And Tiago, he's here kind of teasing me here, asking if I'm barbecuing outside. what I'm doing, I'm trying to bring the factory home. So if you see here, I know it's kind of staged, but this is truly my little press. I have a press here. I have some of my molds. I imported some leaves last week. So I'm really truly trying to build blends. So I kind of got this made today. Actually, I like this a lot. And I've been making cigars, sending to John, making cigars, sending to friends. I smoked only the cigars I made this entire week. So nice. Just kind of bunching, rolling, spending time with my family, planning. We are working in a lot of stuff. That we guys will find out very soon. And talking about brick and mortar, we have a very interesting project coming out next week, just to really support and empower and bring business to them. So that's something we'll talk very soon. And I'm looking forward to send you guys all the information about it. But our prayers and thoughts goes with everybody from our employees in the factory to the brick and mortar who are the true heart and core of this industry, to everybody. You know, I cannot thank enough the fact that we have guys like the Crown Heads and some other actually pretty big distributors in the same boat trying to support the brick and mortar, trying to support the retailers. This is very important. Just like I was saying, man, I just feel like this whole situation is extremely paradoxical. I never thought that I would have all my girls here at the house with me for so long. I mean, they're both in college. They were both in college. They're both studying in Europe. They were away. It was like a nightmare to bring them back. And thankfully, they tested and they tested negative. But we were all afraid that they'll catch something on the way here. So I have the three of my daughters, my wife, and there's also something interesting that connects with your first question about my story. So I never had a relationship with my birth father, right? So we never actually spent time together at all. I don't know him. He didn't know me, and my girls didn't know him. We knew each other from far, but you know, pictures and maybe meeting once a year or not even that. So a month and a half ago, he calls me and he says, you know, I want to come and visit. I want to talk to you. I want to, you know, apologize for things. And I told him, hey, don't just come to apologize. Just come to build a future. You know, let's not try to fix the past. Come and get to know your granddaughters, and she'll be here for a couple of days. Deborah will not be here, but Rebecca will be. Well, he came and he got stuck here because he can't leave now.
Right.
And we've been here stuck in the same house for the past 2 months, you know, and probably he's gonna stay for another month. So those are kind of the coincidences that happens. And you know, I'm enjoying getting to know him more. And you know, here comes a little bit of vulnerability from my side here, but that's I'm enjoying this family time and the fact that I get to stay home with my kids. And it's also paradoxical that we work way more when I'm right now, because of the Zoom thing, man. I've been sitting all day long in front of this this computer, sometimes in my kitchen, in my office, outside here. You know, we're just working, new ideas, new projects, trying to see the opportunities and everything, trying to help as many people as I can and develop new ideas. And when I get tired, I sit down and I bunch cigars and I roll cigars.
There you go.
There you go. That's not a bad thing. And you mentioned you have I have two boys who are now doing college from home right now as well. So that and literally one of them has been literally busy. I mean, he's literally on these classes, and then he's conferencing with his professors. It's kind of, I never thought I'd see anything like that, which is very my youngest actually was doing some of his classes already remotely for other reasons. Yeah. So he was more used to it. He's a freshman, but my other one's a sophomore. And then I have one other boy who is home because his place of work is closed. So, mm-hmm. So he's kind of got a paid vacation, which is he's kind of but he's even frustrated with that. He wants to get back out there too.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. So it's funny, you know, in my case, it's all they're all girls, right? So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I have a daughter too. She's married. So I don't have to
I have one that's 21, 18, and 16.
Oh, wow. Mine go 28, 24, 20, and 19. So
awesome. Awesome. So, we're blessed.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we're blessed.
Yeah. Aaron, what have you been doing? Like since
a lot more family time. I mean, doing a lot of things that, you know, you don't typically do with, you know, the hustle and bustle of life. But my daughter's five, so it's very different than you guys with older kids. But, you know, I'm cooking with my daughter and my wife. We're doing fun things, fun projects around the house. Like today, my daughter pulled out she has a pink and black toolkit. So she brought that out, and we changed out the toilet seat on one of the toilets today. So she got to do a little bit of, you know, project work and stuff like that. A lot of art projects. We've gone on lots of walks and stuff like that around the neighborhood, and just getting to hang out with her. And, you know, normally she's at school, I'm at work for, you know, a lot of the day. So we don't get to spend as much of that time together. So that's been a lot of fun. So just kind of getting to see, you know, how she goes through her whole day and things like that, which we'll only get to typically see on weekends and things like that. But, other than that, I mean, you know, we've been doing these VHERFs and stuff like that. trying to, you know, find new projects that we could do on the cigar side of things and, you know, bring some entertainment to the cigar community. But, you know, we've been getting a lot of more FaceTime with all of our cigar friends that we normally only see on trips, you know, trade shows and things like that. But we're just, you know, hanging out on the computer in the evening sometimes and getting to chat a lot more than normal. So, like Luciano was saying, like people are actually getting closer now than you would like typically when all these other things are going on. So sure. it's been an interesting time. And I think it's a great opportunity for people to kind of slow down a little bit and kind of get back to some of the things that, you know, families used to do and friends used to do a lot more often when before things just seemed to get too busy. So I'm hoping that can continue as you know, as this progresses and things try to get back to normal. But I think people may, you know, feel those connections again and want to, you know, spend more time together.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah. See, I've been in a little bit of a different situation than most people in that I actually have not left the house since the 18th of March. That's going to have to change. There's going to be a reason I have to leave the house in the next few days, but that's okay. I think, you know, but my kind of routine's a little different because I do have a work at home office. I don't really have a company office I go into. I do go visit customers and, you know, people have seen my travels from place to place. But for the most part, I'm kind of in the home office. But with my kids older, I have this routine that has been disrupted where about 4:30, I'm done. I'll shut down for work and I go down to the cigar shop. Or I go down to Tailored Smoke downtown. And I have one or two cigars. And we eat dinner later. So that's the one thing that's been kind of disrupted because I've been doing that for 10 years since I've been down here. Mm-hmm. More that the kids got older, obviously. So that's been a little different. So now I've used that 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock time. It's been a lot of that VHERF stuff. And we actually have, with our team at work, we've actually been VHERF. We actually did a VHERF today, so everyone saw me smoking, which was kind of fun. So they're like, and everyone else had drinks, and I'm like, I got the cigar.
Yeah.
So that's a little different there, but I do agree. Even with our team at work, we're scattered all over North America, and we spent more time in the last doing that today than we have in a while. So I thought if you want to make lemons out of lemonade, I guess it's something to look at.
It's true. And I think a lot of things get achieved when you interact more too. I was talking to Mike the other day, Mike and I are kind of same style. We like to really kind of have presential meetings to talk, so we can, you know, it's all like, you know, eye to eye, body language, you know, fellowship. But now we have to, you know, we have to use Zoom. We have to use all these platforms. But we are now talking more, so we're getting things, yeah, you know, done and working. And it was funny. I was looking at my schedule today, like today, it was like, you know, meetings at like 9, 10, 11:30. I'll talk to a friend at 1. It's my mom that I have to check on like at 3 o'clock, see if she's well. And then, you know, calling different people all day long, you know, nonstop. So I think this is awesome. You know, I think these people are always like speculating, is there a new normal, you know, coming? And I think there is.
I think you're right.
It definitely is.
I think you're right too. I think it's, I think it's going to, I think we're going to change the way we do things. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, like you mentioned Miguel, he's a glass half full guy all the time. Right. So I could be down on something. Right. And he'll kind of put this positive spin on it, right?
Oh yeah.
And he has a unique gift to do that, right? And I've told him that, you know, because we do baseball talk with him a lot and stuff like that. But he has that way of doing it like no one else I've ever met before. So it's amazing.
I'll tell you one thing about Miguel. Of course, we have friends in this industry everywhere, but we have some special people that we meet along the way that our hearts just connect, our mindset, everything is connected. So I can tell that, you know, the Crown Heads boys, they are definitely some of these guys that we connected right away. but especially Miguel. You know, Miguel is a guy who he has this kind of amazing heart, and he cares about people. He cares about his neighbor. Some people he never met before, he would treat them as good friends, and he would do everything to help, even in different situations. You know, Miguel is amazing, man. I just love that man to death. I love him. I love Ernesto. I love Pichardo. I love Alan Rubin from Alec Bradley. What a good friend. Rocky, you know, Rocky Patel is a tremendous guy. You know, he has his style, but if you get to know the guy, you know how nice the guy is, you know. And I mean, many of these guys, like Chris Arroa, you know, I talk about Ernie like 10 times today, but Ernie, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree on all.
Those are good guys, man.
They are really good guys. They are really good guys. So why don't we, what we do is let's do one more round of our sponsors, and then we got one more segment. Sound good, Luciano?
Of course.
All right. So I want to mention our sponsors. With Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust. Master Blender Steve Saka set out to create Puroso and Compromiso, cigars without compromise. This represents an expression of Saka's closely held values and attests in three simple words everything Saka wants to accomplish. Cigars are more than a passion for Saka, they are a way of life. Ask for the brands of Dumbarton Tobacco and Trust, Sobra Mesa, Mi Querida, Umbagog, Muestra de Saka, Todos Rosillas, and Sin Compromiso at your local tobacconist. And by M. Bombay Cigars. M. Bombay Cigars represent the most admired cigar culture of Cuba. They select the best of the best quality tobacco to use in the aging process. M. Bombay Cigars are enrolled in Costa Rica by some of the world's most experienced cigar rollers, giving it a unique smoking experience. The band portrays the detailed and artistic nature of our small industry. Try M. Bombay, Gaia, M. Cuba, and the new M. Esteli line. M. Bombay Cigars, where the cigar is a way of life. And by La Aurora Cigars. In the heart of Santiago, Dominican Republic, on the rolling floor at the La Aurora Cigar Factory is a section reserved only for the elite, the best of the best. These elite cigar rollers work for over 10 years to simply get the opportunity to make a historic cigar. Those cigars are the La Aurora Preferidos, featuring six different wrappers and a beautifully packaged perfecto shape. La Aurora Preferidos have been the preferred cigar of the Leon family for over 115 years. Take part in a legendary tradition that started the Dominican cigar industry. Look to the lion, La Aurora Cigars. We are Dominican defined. And by J.C. Newman Cigar Company. Founded in 1895 by Julius Caesar Newman, J.C. Newman Cigar Factory Company is the oldest family-owned premium cigar maker in America. For four generations and 125 years, J.C. Newman has been handcrafting many of the world's finest cigars. J.C. Newman is headquartered in an iconic 109-year-old cigar factory in the Ybor City National Historic Landmark District of Tampa, Florida. At this factory known as Elder Hole, J.C. Newman rolls premium cigars by hand in hand-operated antique machines. The J.C. Newman Pensa factory is the second largest in Nicaragua. It's a brick house. Perla de Mar, El Baton, and Quorum cigars are hand-rolled. J.C. Newman's Diamond Crown, Maximus, Julius Caesar, and Black Diamond cigars are handmade by Tabacalera A. Fuente in the Dominican Republic. With his longtime partners, the Arturo Fuente family, the Newmans have founded the Cigar Family Charitable Foundation, which supports low-income families in the Dominican Republic with education, healthcare, vocational training, clean water. Visit jcnewman.com to learn more. And by Casa Cuevas Cigars. The Cuevas family has four generations of experience in cigar making. For many years, they have manufactured cigars for many industry leaders out of the Las Lavas factory in the Dominican Republic. Now, the Cuevas family brings their very own brand to market with Casa Cuevas Cigars. Try the Casa Cuevas Connecticut, the Casa Cuevas Habano, the Casa Cuevas Maduro, and the La Mandaria line, as well as the Cuevas Reserva line. If they don't carry it, be sure to ask your local retailer for Casa Cuevas Cigars. Casa Cuevas, from our casa to yours. And by Cigar Marketplace. Cigar Marketplace is the first B2B premium cigar and accessories online broker that connects premium suppliers to retailers, simplifying the way our industry does business. Retailers can directly order from the suppliers they want without the wait getting the brands they demand. Wholesalers no longer need to depend on going store to store to find the retailer that fits their brand. This allows retailers to enjoy a one-stop shopping experience for all their store needs. With an optional monthly subscription of $39.99, it allows members to benefit from all order-free shipping with no minimum, 40% off second-day air rates, a 2.5 cash back for every 6 months, a refer-a-friender program, a set discount of 10% naked bundles, exclusive week deals, and more. Non-members can take advantage of Cigar Marketplace's exclusive deals plus free shipping on orders over $750. Visit www.cigarmarketplace.co to learn more. And I just want to mention, there's actually, you know, we talked a lot about these VHERFs. Aaron, did you get a chance to see the quarantine grilling show with John Carney and Brian McGee?
I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I heard lots of good things.
They were great. They were really great. They actually grill meat on the show. So Brian, you'll probably get to know. You already know, probably, he's a big meat guy.
Yeah.
So
you know him.
Yeah. So, and John was talking about it on our VHERF the other night. But they did well. So I'll be fired up the Cattle Baron Cigar next Monday. And I believe they have Fred Rui on their show.
Yep. Yep. Doing salt blocks and stuff.
Salt
like block. That.
Yeah, yeah. Salt blocks are awesome. So looking forward to that.
Nice.
Yes, that'll be pretty good. All right. You know, we talked a little about, the coronavirus. We were kind of on that right now, but Luciano, I want to kind of get your opinion on, right now the cigar industry is going through turmoil, as many, but I think the cigar industry is taking it hard. Where do you see the current state of things right now? I know you've kind of throughout the show has said this is opportunity for you. But there's obviously a lot of adversity as well. So how are you kind of balancing that out?
I think, in terms of the coronavirus, I think is a challenge for all the industries. Besides the pharmaceuticals, we're doing really well. Everybody else is hurting.
And Zoom, and course, Zoom, and Zoom.
And Zoom, exactly. And all the telecons, and they're doing pretty good. But our industry we've been hurting for a long time before the COVID-19. So we've been, you know, under stress for a long time. And I don't know if you had a chance to read an article that I wrote there for PCA about the premium cigar family. I believe that finally I see more agreements coming to place, like people really fighting together. The problem with our situation with the FDA and all the litigations that we have is that people were just fighting by themselves and fighting to different directions. You know, from the substance equivalence to the definition of premium cigars. You had, you know, one segment of manufacturers going to one direction, fighting for one type of definition, and then we got another group fighting for a different type of definition. And being there at the AMMB advisory board at PCA now, I can see from closer that PCA is more open than ever to really work hand to hand with the manufacturers, and I think it's working. I think we are together in this. You know, this is a big family, and I think the problems won't solve tomorrow. I think there's still a big journey ahead of us. We do have a legislation that was already passed. It's already there. It's about now the interpretation of the law and how to reverse a couple of things here and there. But it's going to take time. It's going to take effort. But most importantly, I think my fear is like anybody else is that our brick and mortars will start shutting down and you'll not be able to survive. And to be quite frank, I think if the manufacturers don't support the brick and mortar, it's going to be really hard for them. And I think that's why I told you guys, you know, I hope we'll be able to share this very soon. Next week, there will be some interesting actions that will be taken in terms of really trying to support nationwide all the brick and mortar, at least from some manufacturers that are kind of getting together to do this. I got a guy who just kind of, sometimes I go here and I check who's asking questions and stuff. And this guy just asked, like, what is our plans? What kind of market saturation stateside currently, and what are my goals for 2020? We have two things happening right now. So let's look at it with clarity here. We have factories shutting down, so there'll be a shortage once this is all over, because people just cannot manufacture cigars and ship the cigars. They need to be aged, they need to be we need to equalize the humidity of the cigar. They have to sit in a humidor for a little bit before you ship them, and there are some operations, especially the big ones, who will suffer quite a lot. You know, I mean, it will be hard to find products in a shelf once this is over. Also, again, marketing wise, we don't know if I believe the trade show will happen. If you want my opinion, I think it should happen. I think by July, this is Luciano. This is not my company. This is not Crown Heads. This is not Ace Prime. This is my personal opinion. I believe that people will be so eager to a trade show because all the other trade shows have been canceled or postponed to next year. I mean, you see some postponed to October, like the Big Smoke, but I mean, trade show, they're all canceled. So, I mean, and the only date that is secure so far is July 10th, is the PCA trade show. So I think two things might happen. If the trade show occurs and people start leaving their houses and the flights start going back to normal and prices are not crazy, I think we probably might have even a bigger attendance than any other year, because I think people are just eager to come to the trade show. Mm. People, the community wants to reconnect, right? So that's the brighter side. Now, if the trade show doesn't happen, which there is a chance, you know, we never know for how long this quarantine will go. We don't know if things will get better or get worse. Scientists are saying that it's going to get better. It's going to decline, you know, in 30 to 60 days. At least for this first wave, it's summer. People want to get out of their houses. Nevada, it's dry. I know this. I know it's crazy to talk about these things, but I have to think that way as an entrepreneur. If you think about the air filtration system of the casinos and specifically from the Expo Center, they have this what it's called the particle removal system, right? Because they have to clean the air of the smoke. Actually, the environment, it's extremely favorable for you not to catch anything. Mm-hmm. If you go there, there's more chances for you to get something in your hotel room than actually the trade show floor. But again, this is all speculation. We don't know what's going to happen. I believe that we have to wait. Hopefully the PCA won't make any decision soon. I think they have to wait maybe another 30 days to make any decision. But see, that's also, there's no like right answer here. That's another problem right there. Because if they take too long to cancel it, so we cannot plan properly.
Right.
So how all these companies who have to manufacture cigars for the trade show will be able to fulfill that demand? You know, will be a different trade show where people might try samples, but the orders will only be fulfilled maybe January or December. So we truly don't know, you know. As far as businesses, everybody's going to get hurt. I think the government approved a very important package of help. There's a lot of credit lines available now for small businesses. And we also, I think PCA and some other CRA and many other organizations are trying to help the small businesses with information. I think right now there's a lot of misinformation out there, so we need to find a good source of information. You guys are an amazing source of information, and that's why I believe in shows like yours and things like you do, because we need guys like you out there, you know, just telling people and telling the truth. You know, I was watching one of your shows a couple months ago, and it was a lot of speculation about a different topic which we don't have to bring up here. And then I think there was like a sign behind you or something saying like no more. I forgot what was it there. No more speculation. No more.
Rumor teaser free.
Teaser free. I love that.
That's the Coop motto.
I love that shit because it's all about the truth, man. I got to stop with this bullshit. Like, you know, you want to just put speculation out there. Just say, you know, I think this is going to happen because, and then you develop an entire theory about something that you just don't control. You just don't know about it, you know.
You know, Luciano, I'll just comment on it because a lot of people say, why haven't you printed this yet? It's like, because there's a validation process, the whole thing about recently with the S-chip, for example, there was a story out there. I know the Half-Wheel guys put that out there. I didn't have a comfort level that was confirmed that S-chip payments were going to be deferred. So yep. I kind of held off. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't see anything out there with this, right? I would think the industry would have been on top of that a little more and made a statement on that. And that's why I just kind of held back and said, waited to see. And now it turns out there's some that may go through customs. So that's a whole different animal we don't know yet. So it's things like that. Sometimes if I'm a little slower, I'm okay with that because I want to get it right. So,
yep.
And by the way, when you start chasing down a rumor or a teaser, it's a lot of work. And then if it's not the way it comes out, you've expended all that effort. And I'm a small guy.
Absolutely, man. And that's why I read it my way you did. And I was kind of excited to be here tonight too, because I wanted to say to tell you this, that I loved what you did.
I appreciate it. Thank you. You know, but what you just said about the PCA trade show, it was probably, you're probably the first person I've said, hey, you know, you guys want to forge ahead to do that, which I give you credit. You gave some very credible reasons. I think PCA, by the way, for all the crap they take, and sometimes they bring it on themselves and sometimes they don't, I think they've done a good job of communicating the whole small business thing to people. They've been doing that almost every day. And I think that's a good I don't know what you think, Aaron, I think the communication is better than no communication.
Yep.
I think they're doing a good job. You know, again, it's easy to go and condemn, you know, and it's hard to kind of extend a hand. I see a lot of people criticizing everything. I don't agree with everything that they do and they've done in the past. But I can tell you this. I know some guys there. I know a lot of guys there, actually. The majority of them who are truly committed to do their best. They want to save this industry. They want to do their best. It goes beyond their personal interest. It is a lot of dedication, a lot of time that they put in. So does the CRA. You know, it's like the other day, you know, we were all there in that meeting room, and I was looking at everybody, and people were there giving up their time, paying for their airline tickets just to go to D.C. and fight for this industry. You know, they were there. Not just because they want to save their own businesses, because they want to save this industry. They want to save this family. And again, people will make mistakes, man. I make mistakes a lot, and I try to embrace them and change when things need to be changed and listen. And I think right now we're living in times where maybe guys from not just PCA but other organizations from retailers are willing to listen. And I think they did, and I think they are doing a great job. And I think the information level that you get now from their marketing team, it's tremendous. I think, what's his name? Joshua is doing a great job. Erin, who is the marketing girl there, she's doing a great job, like on top of everything, always publishing things like almost like an hourly basis. Whatever news comes out, they replicate, they send to all the agencies as well. So I think that's what we need, man. We need to cooperate, you know. We need to be together. We need to get, even like you guys from media, you know, you guys need to really talk to each other, connect, you know, see how you can, you know, provide the best service to this community, because we get good information. We need information without just like teasing and rumors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, we actually had Charlie from Halfway on a couple of weeks ago. One thing that he said to me and Aaron was, hey, if media faced this like thing that would threaten our existence, there's no question everyone would come together, even if we have do things different or maybe we don't get along. I think he felt that, and I agreed with him on that, you know, that I think we would close ranks. I don't think we'd have any division there.
Yeah. Well, hope so, man. I'm always cheering for this industry. Hey, you're doing I can mention this guy because he's one of your sponsors. So you just mentioned AJ. Man, Adele is a very good friend of mine, and I love him to death. And he's been a great supporter of our factory too. So we trade a lot of tobacco, and the guy is awesome, man. The guy is awesome. So I saw in one of kind of, I think it was in a briefing of one of your questions, like about how Tabacalera Pichardo, our factory, stay under the radar for so long. And I think one of the reasons too is because Pichardo, he doesn't speak a word of English. So then he it's hard for him to communicate too, and he was really comfortable with, you know, where he was. And the reason I'm saying this is because, you know, we would tease a little bit of, you know, Adele and him, and like Adele, he's another tremendous human being. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to his factory, but one of the things that really inspired me was the fact that he takes such a good care of his employees. If you visit his factory, you see that he has an insight daycare for all the employees' kids.
That's true. I've been there and I've seen it. Yeah, they showed us that. Yeah.
And also a clinic. He has a doctor on site and a nurse, just to, you know, if someone needs assistance. We start doing the same with clinics in our factory, like for many years. We've been doing this for a while, but he took it to the next level. He does an amazing, amazing job. You know, he's a good guy too.
No, I visited the factory. People ask me, I always would recommend that factory tour because he usually participates hands on with that as well. I've been on his factory tours twice. And the interesting, Luciano, you mentioned how you had different factories spread across Nicaragua, right? You had different, and that's how his factory was in 2012 when I went there. He hadn't opened the big facility yet, so he was in different places in downtown Esteli for a long time. We were just going from like factory location to factory location, which was you know, very different. And then the second time I went, he had the bigger factory, so I got to see the whole operation there.
Yeah, his operation is amazing. And I have a very good friend of mine there who is his uncle. It's called Rafael Saab Moro. That's how he's known there. Want to say hi because he's watching. It's funny. He just wrote in Spanish to me. He says, so why you keep talking about other companies instead of talking about yours? I said, well, see, this is who I am, man. I believe this is a family. You know, I could be just talking about how awesome Ace Prime is and how beautiful our products are. And we can, of course, I want to talk about my products, but I try to be fair to the reality of this industry, you know, and we are a big family, and I own a lot to these guys that I mentioned today. You know, they all supported us. And you ask why you got so many endorsements in your lounge. I think I answered that already.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You definitely did. You mentioned, so you're part of, you're now on the advisory board, right? So there's this perception that the PCA hasn't been welcoming to smaller companies, right? And I've kind of not necessarily agreed with that. But now you as a smaller company are on the advisory board. My question is, do you feel you as a smaller company, you're getting a voice on that advisory board right now?
Absolutely. I think so. There's two separate things. You know, that Mike Condor is in the board as well. I think it's Luciano who is in that board, and I believe that, and I say that very humbly. I believe that I represent more than just my company there. I think there's a lot of guys there who actually represents more than their own companies. We're talking about very experienced businessmen. You know, if you look at Rocky is there, Jorge Padron is there. Jorge is someone that has this incredible academic background, and he is the backbone of his business. His father is the genius, and he is a genius as well. You know, I mean, he took that business to the next level. Most people don't know, but Jorge Padron, he's a tremendous savvy businessman who always worked with ethics and has done an amazing job. So having a brain like his and in that board is not just phenomenal, it's necessary, you know.
Yep.
We have guys like Christian Aroa. That's another tremendous businessman. We're talking about Mike Condor. I mean, that guy has, I don't know, he looks really young, but that guy has a lot of experience in the industry. Like his time at General Cigar, I mean, he has seen everything that happens in this industry for the past 30 years. So he's extremely knowledgeable. If you look at, who else is in the advisory board? If you look at Rocky is this experienced lawyer who knows everything about marketing. And I don't know if there's anyone that sells better than Rocky in this industry. He's such a good salesman. And I admire that. He's a guy who, when he started, he would just go and visit, you know, store by store with his cooler filled with cigars by himself and pushing products. And he made a name, you know. He's extremely smart. So what I'm saying is, I believe I'm honored to be voted in, to have been voted in to the board. I believe it's more than the fact that I am. I'm not representing Ace Prime there. I think I'm more like as a businessman, and so are everybody else. some of them happen to have bigger distributions than we do.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And it's a great opportunity, obviously, for you as well. And good for, I think it's good for the industry as well. So I'm really happy for to sure. hear that and hear your view of things on that, because I think that's a positive message that could be taken for people, you know, and I think it could help with some of the healing we have in the divided yes. industry as well.
Yeah,
I agree, man. That's what we need. We need healing right now. That's very, very good put. Thanks
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah, no, it is good. So let me ask you another question. Aaron, I'm sorry, I went a little off here.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Okay. So let's say, what's plan B for you if there's no trade show? I mean, how does that affect your launches this year? How do you go from there? I know you mentioned you have an announcement coming next week, but in terms of the products that you need to bring to market and you're planning to bring to market, how is that going to affect things?
You know, that's a good question. There's not a easy answer, because I tried, and I don't know if it's going to be easy to explain this. I try to be really fluid. So I'll give an example, and you understand the way, the process of my thinking, or my thought process. My crew, they suffer a lot with that, that virtue or flaw, depends on how you see it. Sometimes I get my marketing guy who says, hey, we need to do this two events here, and I need to know in advance so I can program all the marketing material. And from Orlando, we need to fly to back to Nicaragua because you have this meeting, you have that. And then I only confirm to the very last minute. And the reason why I do that sometimes is just because I want to stay open to different possibilities. Unless if it's crystal clear that that's absolutely what I have to do, sometimes I do leave things for the last moment. And the reason I do that is not because I'm not planning. It's quite the opposite. It's because I'm playing different things all the time. So I want to make sure that I have different directions to take when it comes to a decision. I think actually, concerning your question, I believe that there are several things that might happen in the industry if the trade show doesn't happen. I think there'll be more, they're the obvious ones. There'll be more money to invest in different things, so we can invest in different marketing approaches that we didn't thought before. I believe what we're about to do next week will be something that will happen regardless of having a trade show or not, because it has to do with supporting the brick and mortar. But with that, many other things will come. I think that will force more people to come together, and I think there'll be more opportunities for many of these players. I believe that if we don't have a trade show, if this crisis prolongs, everybody will get hurt. There's nothing that we can do, but we'll rise from all this stronger, and we'll be able to. I would say that the ones that are passionate about this industry will try to survive with all their strength. They will do everything they can to make this happen. And there's nothing more powerful than people coming together for one goal and for something that they are passionate about. Now, I wrote this article at the PCA magazine about the family, right? And I got some nasty emails of people saying that I criticize the Big Four and so forth. I'm not criticizing the Big Four. There's one thing that's absolutely undeniable. You know, we have corporations that report to their stockholders, and they have to perform. And most of these corporations that we're talking about, they are connected with this, not the Big Four, but at least the Big Three, are corporations that report to their stockholders based on tobacco as a commodity. They trade tobacco way more than the cigar. The cigar business is nothing. In one of the companies, get closest to 1% of their business. Mm-hmm. That's how small.
Yeah,
we call them the four big. They're big for us, but they're extremely small for themselves, for their corporation, the one they're above them. You know, so I know a lot of very good guys who are passionate about the industry, but work for them, and they are probably struggling the most because they don't know what's going to happen. Like, Imperial can come tomorrow and say, you know what, Let's just pull the plug. That's it.
Right.
And they will survive because it's less than 1% of their business.
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. They will survive. They will be just fine. Now, if something happens like this with Crown Heads, Ace Prime, then you know, it's our life. So I'm talking about people who are fighting for their lives and people who are just like, let's see what's going to happen, you know, or some of these guys that I love, but they work for these corporations and I'm not criticizing them. You know, it's a move in their career. I totally understand. But again, those guys, as long as they get their salary every month, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They don't depend on the company to succeed or not. That's the reality. That's the truth, guys. So what I see will happen is that this, everybody who really are not just dependable, but are passionate about this industry, that are, you know, truly trying to save this industry, they will come together and they'll come stronger than before. They will rise stronger than before. And that's the reality. And with that reality, there are the opportunities. And I could name a few for you here, but you got the picture. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities when you have passionate people really trying to succeed and to survive.
No, I got to say, Luciano, you're now my second half glass half full guy with Miguel. No, I mean, you actually put a very positive spin on things that maybe sometimes, mm-hmm. like me, who could be negative, I look at that now, and you've made a lot of good points tonight that I didn't think of. So I'll give you a lot of credit on that. Yeah. And we got to hope
Thanks,
you're right.
I'm gonna, but yeah, I'm going to tell you this. I know I'm being positive, but I'm not naive.
I didn't take that at all. Yeah.
It's just like a lot of people in this industry will shut their doors. A lot of people will die out of this coronavirus. There's a lot of sadness. We honestly, I think we need to acknowledge, but we don't need to enforce that, because actually we need people to fight. We need people to really have hope and not just have hope in a naive way where, you know, we just want to expect things to get better. So they need to have hope so they can fight. So that's why maybe this whole partnership with the Crown Heads make a lot of sense to us, because I'm talking about people who are willing to take the fight to the next step. So while I was listening to this news that came like a couple of days ago, the LFD kind of laid off half 50% of their reps, and I said, oh, it's so funny now that we are actually hiring. You know, like we actually merging distribution to work more. You know, I mean, there are different perspectives of this whole situation, and I respect everybody and the decisions they're making and the positions they have. But again, you know, I rather look with positive eyes and fight for it. I'm not just looking at it and just seeing what happens. I want to get this accomplished.
That's great. That's great to hear. Aaron, anything else we want to hit or any points you wanted to hit?
Yeah, Tiago had asked a question in the chat room. He wanted to know if Luciano was going to play that guitar behind him.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. I put the guitar because it looks. Look, I didn't have space to put my box in there.
Yeah.
Right.
So I was trying to kind of stage all the products behind me. And I had this guy, I don't know if you heard of him. It's trying to remember his name, man, but his company is called The Devil Box. So he makes guitars out of cigar box. So it's amazing.
I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah. So he made a bunch for. He's down in Florida. I was there in an event at the Corona with the Corona guys. That sounds kind of weird.
Yeah. Oh, Jeff's been having poor Jeff.
Jeff is kind of struggling so much with that. But, you know, it's funny how, you know, that's another thing that he's spinning really well. You know,
yeah. Like
everybody now remembers his cigar shop.
Yeah.
But we were.
Well, he won't call coronavirus either, though. I don't blame him.
Yeah, he calls, well, he has his personal reasons, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's actually where I smoked the Lucianos at his Tampa store when I was down there.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so I enjoyed those. Yes, yeah, so I had that there. So that's good. I mean, hey, Tiago, by the way, I'll root for the Nets for you, even though you're in the division with the Sixers. So if the Sixers can't win, I want the Nets to do good.
My phone ran out of battery, man. That's why I can't see what people are.
Well, we're
just charging right now.
we're at the end anyway, so you don't have to worry too much.
Yeah.
All right. Before we kind of wrap up, Luciano, I just want to mention a couple of programming notes. Next Monday, we'll have Primetime Jukebox Episode 7. Dave Burke and I will be doing our album archaeology series, where we break down an album into excruciating detail. It's going to be the Rolling Stones Let It Bleed album. I think we're smoking Tricky Trakas, and it's because Dave's limited supply. I think we had to work with him on that.
Right.
And then next Thursday is episode 133. And Pete Johnson of Tattoo White Cigars is going to be the guest. I guess it's technically a 3-year show.
Right.
I'm going to call it because we started on April 13th. So yeah. So I think it's pretty. So we're just wrapping awesome. We're wrapping up the third year of this thing. So
nice.
So and everyone's asking me, Aaron. Go ahead, Luciano.
I was saying that I haven't had chance to kind of interact a lot with Pete Johnson, but he's also on the AMNB board. So.
Yeah, and he's very, very supportive of the PCA. I know we're going to get into a lot of that with him as well. And he's also, I got to say, he's another glass half full guy in a lot of cases too. So, so I'm leaving guys out. But Miguel was the first, so I'll say that's why I give him that. And then Aaron, everyone's asking us if we're doing another 11-hour show.
No, I'm not. No, I don't have any plans to do that again. I don't mind having another show. It's just not going to be that long.
No,
this is too much.
I have not recovered from sleep all week with that.
Just right.
No, you got the record. We're fine with that. But if we do another one, we'll let you know. We've tried, Aaron, and you and I have talked about it. We've tried to keep these shows different from the V-Herfs.
Yeah.
Because the V-Herfs, I think, have a place and they're different. But we want to still do our show here too. So it's good that people have choices there. So But Luciano, thank you so much for your time. It was great talking with you. This was a great conversation. I look forward to more conversations with you. And like I said, I'm hoping you're right. And we have a trade show because we paid for our house already out there. So we paid for the rental house already. So we want to go. So but we want everyone to be safe too.
Yeah.
But no, we hope we have the show too. I'm not sure if we will, but I think if we do, I think it's going to be great.
I think so too. I think so too. So it will be wonderful. But anyway, that's going to wrap up Primetime episode 132 into the annals of history for this Thursday, April 2nd, 2020, just below the midnight hour on the East Coast. So we got in there. We'll see everybody next week. Have a fantastic week, and everyone stay safe and
healthy.
Keep healthy too, please.
Yep.
All right. Take care, everybody.